Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. I'm going to be riding solo today. My man Clay taking a much-deserved day of vacation. So you're just going to be hanging out with me for hopefully all 3 hours today, because we actually have a whole lot to get to. Friday, September 3rd here. We've got the pitiful Biden recovery. It's even hard to call it a recovery for the economy right now. They're blaming COVID, blaming corporations. Blame it on the rain, blame it on whatever. That's what they're trying to do right now. Plus, you've got Democrats who are sounding like they're willing to undo, undermine, overturn, blow up the system in order to save it, of course, over the Texas abortion law. A fact check of a fact check on whether Joe Biden did, in fact, look at his watch in a undignified way during the dignified transfer ceremony of our heroes' remains being brought back to this country. Plus, Joe Manchin, West Virginia senator, won't spend $3.5 trillion, he says. He wants a strategic pause. He wants a strategic pause in spending us into oblivion. And then at the third hour of the program today, we're going to be joined by somebody at the heart of organizing evacuations from Afghanistan. Fascinating story about how it all came together. A lot of veterans, a lot of our combat veterans felt a debt of honor, an obligation to get not just, of course, our Americans first and foremost, but get Afghan interpreters and the folks that they gave their word to in their minds to get them out. So we'll have that story for you in the third hour. But the big news this morning, of course, was the incredibly weak jobs report from the for the Biden administration. They're going to try to spin this in every way that they can. They're saying, oh, it's just a function of, well, as you know, it's COVID. It's always about COVID. Whenever something goes wrong, that's going to be the go-to. But initially, the expectation was that they were going to have over 700,000, 720,000 jobs was the economists' estimates. As you know, economists are not particularly good at predicting things. They make weathermen look like geniuses, because weathermen are actually pretty good for the most part. But economists are often way off. 235,000 jobs last month was the actual number, according to the Labor Department. So we're expecting 720,000 jobs under this Biden administration. We got 235,000 jobs. Now, what's also really interesting here is that you have a lot of open jobs out there, millions and millions of open jobs. So what's going on here? The demand for workers persists, but job gains are slowing up. Now, they're going to say that this is, of course, a function of COVID. Here's Joe Biden just this morning before I came on air to speak to all of you saying that. Play 19.
There's no question the Delta variant is why today's job report isn't stronger. I know people were looking, and I was hoping for a higher number. But next week, I'll lay out the next steps that we're going to need to combat the Delta variant, to address some of those fears and concerns.
I can tell you, I actually have a preview for you of the Joe Biden speech next week. This came to me. I have well-placed sources. I've got people who know people, you know, all that stuff. And here's a summary of what you're going to be told by Joe Biden as he's trying to spin this weak recovery, which is barely even feeling like a recovery, and something else. It's going to go something like this. You know, we're going to get middle class jobs, coal miners, manufacturing, good wages, jobs, middle class, you know. It's all about investments in our future. Talk about those good jobs for the wages, for the middle. It's like he's just going to say the same thing that he said for, well, pretty much his entire political career. Buzzwords and phrases that make it sound like, you know, he's Joe. He's Amtrak Joe, just one of the folks. No, he's not. Joe Biden lives in, what, a $3-4 million mansion in Delaware? This guy's been the senator from Delaware, the vice president for 8 years, another president of the United States. When was the last time you think Joe Biden had to go buy his own groceries or drive a car? But, oh, yeah, here I am. I'm going to look at you And I'm going to use phrase folks. I'm going to say folks a lot. So you feel like I'm connected to you. You feel like I'm not a front for a bunch of socialists, a bunch of people who actually don't share your values at all, who run the Democrat Party. But I'm here to say jobs, middle class, hard working, hard paying jobs. You know, he starts, you know that Joe Biden's pushing when he starts dropping his G's off of this. You know, hard working, good paying. You know, and he's from Delaware. He's not from the heartland or the South. He's from Delaware, but he kind of gets this tone. You know, he's kind of got an almost twang, but it's not quite there because he's just connecting, man. He's just, you know, he's Joe. You say to yourself, I'd rather you just be good at your job, Biden. How about that? I'd rather you turn things around so that we didn't all have to sit here and say, what are you doing well? The border, it's not like the border, the U.S.-Mexico border is bad right now. It's the worst that it's ever been. It's the most open. We have the most drugs flooding across. We had 90,000 plus Americans die of overdose last year, the highest it's ever been. In part, of course, also driven by the despair of the unnecessary lockdowns. But the drugs are flooding across, fentanyl and opioids and heroin. But, and also 200,000 a month illegal immigrants now. And yes, it is illegal. It is illegal to cross into America despite what the libs think. They are breaking, the people doing this are breaking the law, enriching the cartels. But Biden doesn't care. That's a disaster. They're already telling you that Afghanistan is a success, huge success, a stunning success beyond the wildest expectations of this administration. Yeah, sure, there were some things here and there that maybe, you know, but, you know, to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. That's the Biden response to all of this. The economy is weak, but, you know, who wants that roaring Trump economy? I mean, that's, oh, no, all the prosperity and the jobs, the all-time record low unemployment, especially the all-time record low unemployment for Black and Latino Americans, you know, that kind of stuff. No, let's have the Biden economy where it just never really gets up and going. You got people staying home to collect the $300 paycheck still. They're extending that out. You got the CDC acting like a tyrannical health policy DMV that can tell you that you're not allowed to collect rent on property that you own. Oh, yeah, it's all fat cats who are the landlord. Sometimes the landlord actually has less money than the tenant, but the Democrats feel like that redistribution of wealth benefits them, so they just seize your property. There's no due compensation for this. This is unfair. This is wrong, what they are doing. The CDC can tell you what you can and can't do with your private property by fiat. I mean, I know the Supreme Court, thankfully, has said no, but that the Democrats would even try that just shows how completely out of line and extra constitutional. I mean, we live now, thanks to Biden providing cover as the Trojan horse for Democrats, we live in an increasingly post-constitutional order that we're just supposed to accept for some reason. Oh, but the only thing that they're going to talk about for the Constitution in the days ahead has to do with the right to an abortion, which does not actually exist in the Constitution. The left is completely freaked out about that. We will get into the challenge there and what they're going to do. But, you know, when Biden comes under criticism, whether it's Afghanistan or anything else, what does he do? Well, he finds a way to both claim he's doing a great job, but then also place the blame for the great job he's doing on someone else. Look at how he did this with Afghanistan. Afghanistan was really well executed, except the bad parts, and that was Trump's fault. And anybody who was being honest looked at him and said, wait a second, how can that be? Wait, so only the good parts you get credit for, the bad parts are somebody else's fault? That seems a little bit too convenient to me. But, oh, and then there's also the usual, what is the ultimate, when the economy's bad, the ultimate Democrat go-to, because the Democrats are socialists. It's just a question of how socialist now. But what is the go-to maneuver? Oh, that's right. Envy and class warfare, right? Oh, it's those big, bad corporations. Remember, the biggest, most powerful corporations in America overwhelmingly are Democrat, basically Democrat super PACs. I mean, they are enforcing Democrat speech regulations. They're enforcing Fauciite orthodoxy. They're doing all these things. But that's what you're supposed, that's what we are supposed to take from this, that the corporations are the bad guys, even though the big corporations, you know, Apple and Google and Uber and go down the list, complete Democrat, monocultures politically. I mean, that's all that's allowed. And yet they'll trash corporations because that's the usual class warfare move. Because somehow the left thinks that they're against, right? There's all the wokeness in the corporations, but the left believes that they're still the bad guys in all this. Play 18.
55 of the largest corporations in America last year paid zero in federal taxes. I don't care what your position is. It just seems to me it's time they start to pay their fair share, like everybody else. Just pay a little bit here. And it comes up to billions of dollars if they pay. The irony of ironies is during the recession and the pandemic, you've heard me say this before, I apologize for repeating it, where the vast majority of Americans are struggling just to hang on, the number of billionaires in America actually grew.
Yeah, it's, you know, we hate the billionaires. You know, those rich guys, those rich fat cats, you know, they're the problem. Blame them for the Biden economy being so weak. This is pretty straightforward. They're spending a lot of money. They're spending money unnecessarily. They're redistributing wealth by fiat. They're encouraging people to stay home and get paid $300 instead of going to a job. Some people, it's financially makes sense for them. Right. There's plenty of reason to want to get paid for nothing instead of making less money to do something. And then he wonders why, with also all the panic and our ultimately there's a refusal here to accept that we have to learn to live with COVID instead of in fear of COVID. And so the Democrat mentality, Fauciism, all of it is a huge drag on the economy right now. People are more scared than they should be and they need to be. And that affects all of our lives. But I want to talk to you about this fact check of the fact check where Biden was looking at his watch during the dignified transfer ceremony. Or was he or wasn't he? Well, I think we all know where that's going. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Also, it is Open Line Friday. Would love to take calls from you. 800-282-2882. 800-282-2882. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. America vowed to never forget. And the 20th anniversary of 9/11 is next Saturday. Let that sink in. 20 years since the deadliest terror attack on American soil. So much has changed since, but one foundation remains committed to honoring the lives lost on 9/11 and the heroes who continue to serve our communities and country, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. This year, they're bringing back Towers of Light tributes at the Pentagon and Flight 93 memorials because of your support. Because you remember, Chairman and CEO Frank Siller is honoring the fallen by walking more than 500 miles to connect the 9/11 sites. The morning of 9/11, he's retracing his baby brother's footsteps to ground zero 20 years later. Talk about emotional, a lot of impact from that. And the foundation is starting new traditions as well, reading the names of every person lost to 9/11 related illness. And in a separate ceremony, the names of soldiers lost in the war on terror. Help our country to never forget. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
In a word, yes, he did. And look, Willie, we've spoken about this before. I've got the scars of this war on my body, on my soul. I've seen people who I absolutely love get hurt in Afghanistan. And so this is personal. And the last month has been, in a way, triggering. But I won't let that emotion cloud my reasoning here. President Biden did the absolute right thing. And we're all safer as a result. You know, we have basically three different groups or camps right now. We have those who supported this decision, those who previously supported Donald Trump in his vision of leaving Afghanistan, and now they've flip-flopped. Those people are frauds.
I told you they'd be saying this. I thought it would wait a few days maybe, but they went to it right away. Joe Biden is not only should be beyond criticism for the withdrawal now. I know. We can all be angry about this together. And welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We can all see this for what it is. But no, now it's actually Joe Biden did a great job. The propaganda machinery is in full swing already. Joe Biden, we are safer because of Biden. The world sees us now as an even stronger partner because of Biden. This is key to the kind of authoritarian control that the Democrats seek so much in our society. It's not enough to say things that are debatable and to misrepresent them. It's not enough to lie to you. They insist on ramming the lies down your throat, on forcing them in front of your eyes so often that you start to question what the heck is really going on. How could it be possible for them to lie so aggressively about something so obvious? Ah, okay. Because this is the plan. This is how it was always going to work. Biden can just send everybody to lifeboats and then pretend that he's not the one that steered us into the iceberg of this evacuation. I know the withdrawal decision is something that is bipartisan overall, largely. I know that Trump set up a timeline, but Trump did not preside over this disastrous withdrawal situation. A withdrawal that, by the way, not only looked chaotic and ridiculous from the perspective of lack of planning, but also tragically cost the lives of 13 of our best Marines, Navy corpsmen, and brings me then to also the whole Biden. You know, I've been telling you that Biden says the same stuff. He's had the same routines over and over for decades. You know, he's just got, it's like he's playing a character, and the character is, you know, good old Joe Biden, the guy from down the street with the rolled up sleeves, and you can count on good old Joe, and he rides a choo-choo to work and the whole thing. Well, during the dignified transfer ceremony, there was a bit of back and forth over whether Joe Biden was actually looking at his watch, because people thought, hold on a second, you're the commander in chief. You're supposed to be representing the American people here in the most solemn of acts, paying respects to our heroes. And they said, oh, no, Biden would never do that. A fellow named, by the way, the fact checkers in the media business are the dumbest and most dishonest people you will come across, which is saying a lot. Daniel Funky. I don't know. New fact check. A viral photo makes it look like President Biden checked his watch during a ceremony honoring U.S. service members killed in Kabul. But that's misleading. Oh, that was the fact check. This is from USA Today. Oh, but they had to do a little update on this one late last night. Fact check, Biden honored service members killed in Kabul, comma, checked watch during ceremony. Yeah, they tried to tell you that your lying eyes were lying to you, of course. He didn't check his watch. That's not what you saw. And then the fact checkers realized, hold on, there's only so much propaganda. He was checking his watch. He did have somewhere better to be in his own mind, apparently, in that moment. Not letting this go, folks. Not letting it go at all. We'll come back and talk about the Texas abortion law and how it's making the libs say some pretty crazy things about what they're willing to do to the government. But, you know, I just went through the process of Legacy Box, and it's amazing, okay? It's so easy. They send you a box, and you put the most treasured memories you have, old photos, VHS tapes, all of it. You put it all together in a box. You send it in by hand, and you can really trust them. This is what they do. They're so good at it. They'll put it onto digital media for you. Legacy Box digitizes all the old media forms you have so you can share them and keep them safe, and you can text them to your grandkids or your wife or your husband or whomever. This week, Legacy Box is offering 50% off at legacybox.com/clayandbuck. You can turn a lifetime of memories into a highlight reel for the whole family. I used Legacy Box's service recently. It couldn't be any easier. I trust them. You should, too. That's right. Go to legacybox.com/clayandbuck right now for 50% off. Legacybox.com/clayandbuck. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Clay, my main man, out today on vacay. We miss him, but based on the photos I'm seeing of him out at a stadium in Tennessee, having a great time, and he'll be back with us soon. And he has entrusted me with the helm today. Also want to remind you, if you've never listened before, you can listen to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. I put it out early in the morning. It's just quick, about 30 minutes. Quick rundown of the day's events. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can check out the Buck Sexton Show podcast. And 800-282-2882 on the phone lines. We have some calls coming. We always have a lot of calls coming in, but we got some great ones. We'll get to them later on this hour because it is Open Line Friday, of course. And we do have a great guest for you in the third hour who is at the very center of the coordination of the digital Dunkirk operation to get Americans, Afghans, even some service dogs. I mean, that whole effort to get our people out of Afghanistan involved a lot of former military people who are now out in the civilian life. And he'll tell us what that was like and give us obviously that's a good news, bad news situation. The good news is they saved a lot of people. The bad news is there's still some people that this Biden administration has left behind, and that is on them. But Fauci, you know, I got to say, Fauci's out there, and I'm in Florida right now, and it's a little bit more, shall we say, free and open than New York, which is always a reminder that that would be possible. It would be possible to be living a better, freer existence if it wasn't for the Fauciism. But he's already telling you a few things you should be very aware of. Remember, the Biden administration pointing at the jobs number right now and saying, oh, it's the fault of COVID. And then they turn around and say, it's the unvaccinated that are to blame for this, as you know. But only the unvaccinated Trump supporters. And there's a lot of questions that I have about this. There are a lot of aspects of the COVID politics at work that I don't think we should just let it go. Like, for example, why is it that they never want to discuss those who have already had COVID and therefore have natural antibodies? Are they being reckless? Even if you accept, which I do not, that it is reckless for people to make their individual health decisions. I think that's totalitarian, actually, to force these things upon people. But what about those who have natural immunity? They just did some serology testing. And who wants to guess if what I've been telling you for the last 2-3 months now is correct or not, that about 100 million people have had COVID in America? Yep. 37 million, I think, confirmed cases. They say it's at least double that. So, you know, give or take, we're at, you know, 80, 90 million, probably more like 100 million. But that's a pretty good estimate of where we are with COVID cases. And that's based on antibody testing, which, remember, they can't always even detect antibodies. So the real number could be much higher. We don't know, but a lot of people have obviously already gotten COVID, despite all the masking, the mitigation measures meant to stop the droplets from coming out through your mask. You know, I am science. I am not Fauci. I speak in sciences. I go to bed at night and I just, instead of counting sheep, I am mouthing the periodic table of the elements because I am science. Here he is telling everybody that you better get ready for the COVID vaccine as a 3-dose regimen. Play 12.
And if it is durable, then you're going to have very likely a 3-dose regimen being the routine regimen. But we'll just have to wait to make sure that that's the case when the data get presented to the FDA.
The 3-dose regimen. Wait a second. How many months ago was it that you were told, get it and you're done? I know a lot of you did get the shot, shots, generally, unless you got the J&J. But if you didn't get the shot, how many of you were told that if you did get it, you were done? Right? That was the story. And then also, you don't have to mask up indoors anymore. It's safe. It's fine. If you're vaccinated. That's what they told us. Now it's 3 shots. In fact, in Israel, they no longer consider you. And Israel has the most granular data on vaccination, did it on the exact schedule they set out to do. And that's how we've known that vaccine failure was coming. Now, remember, this is where it's so important, the language, because they'll trash you, say, you're saying that vaccines don't do this. No, no, no. When we talk about vaccine failure, what we're discussing is the end of the protection that you would get at whatever level it was, which now even Fauci and the rest of them admit is true. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a third shot. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for all this. Clearly, the vaccine effectiveness wanes. which is not what they told us, which means that they either didn't know or lied. And it's tough to know with all the COVID madness out there, which is preferable, right? Would you rather that the Fauciites were just too incompetent to tell you what was true? Or would you rather that they were just lying to your face? Remember, Fauci even admitted in the earliest days of the creation of this secular religion of COVID mitigation that he lied to you about masks because they thought they were going to run out of the surgical masks. They also have just done this big study out of Bangladesh, hundreds of thousands of people, different villages, and the study showed that cloth masks basically do nothing. Once again, but does anyone care? No. No, still, you know, you get into an Uber and they'll tell you why don't you. This actually, I had a Cuban Uber driver this morning. We had a great talk. I was asking him, he was in contact. He was texting a family member back in Cuba when I got into the car. I said, first of all, how's it going there? Unfortunately, the situation in Cuba is the repression that we expected is in full effect. And you don't even really know how many people have been thrown into cells and how many people have had their family members threatened. But it was not the end of the communist regime there when there was that what felt like an uprising on the streets some weeks ago. But he also told me something that I think deserves more attention than it gets. He says that that someone got into his car and was unmasked, and so he took off his mask. And the rider, and this is a part, I mean, this isn't just a one-off. This is the mentality of the Fauciites. The rider reported him for not having a mask. So he said, because I said to him, sir, do you want me to wear a mask? He said, no, I don't care, but I'll wear one. I said, well, you don't have to wear one. I don't care. I mean, you know, give me a break. And he goes, no, I feel better, not because of the virus, but because I don't want to get in trouble. I said, what do you mean you don't want to get in trouble? There is a widespread sentiment among the most devoted Fauci-loving libs that you'll find. And I'm sure a lot of you see this in your own town, your own city. Just look for it. The quote-unquote servant class, right? The people that are in the service industry, the ones who are doing the jobs, the people delivering the food, the people who are operating the checkout counters. All these libs are insistent that they will wear masks, even when they themselves sometimes will be unmasked. I think there's something very creepy about that. I think there's something really unsettling. You know, the people that do the things for me as I'm watching, and not for me, but speaking as a lib, as I'm watching my Maddow and, you know, clicking on my New York Times articles about another variant. They need to be masked up, of course, because I can't trust that they've gotten the vaccination. But I might be unmasked because, you know, I'm. Oh, what was it they said about the Obama party again on Martha's Vineyard? Sophisticated vaccinated crowd, right? Ah, you're seeing the class divide, the real class divide playing out here in a way that makes the libs uncomfortable, should make them uncomfortable, but only when it's exposed. They like the way that it is. But when people like me show what's really going on here, they hate that because, they care so much about the working class. That's the ultimate pretense of the elite in this country, is that they care about those below them economically. That's the great lie of the Democrat Party. They like to pretend they care. They don't actually care. They don't care at all. And Fauci certainly doesn't care about any of this. He's getting ready to tell you for a whole series of new lockdowns, new mandates, all of it. It's all coming. It's all coming because we refuse to learn the lesson. The lesson is the state cannot protect you from this. The state cannot save you. And all we do is hand over our rights and our freedoms for a false promise of security. But, you know, it'll maybe mitigate and the parabola of the case. You know, the whole thing from Fauci is just, it's, I don't know how anyone can keep listening to this guy. I find Fauci to be, it is an intelligence test to continue to think that this guy is worth listening to. And a lot of people fail. It's also virtue signaling. It's a social thing, too. You know, I listen to the science. That's right. The same people who tell you that men can get pregnant, and I am not exaggerating, you know that, the same Democrats who say men can have babies believe that they follow the science and you don't. So we'll come back into this with some calls in a moment here. 800-282-2882. 800-282-2882. Open line Friday in effect. And I thank you so much for being here with me. You know that item you're always carrying, your cell phone? Well, it comes with a service plan, right? If you're with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, I've got news for you. You are paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk. I've got a Pure Talk phone with Pure Talk service. It's crystal clear. It uses the exact same network, the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a whole lot less money. I mean, that's something you need to remember right now, how much the savings can be with Pure Talk. They don't have their names on stadiums. They don't have retail stores. They're not blowing all this money on these big ticket items so then they can actually, you know, try to upcharge you. No, Pure Talk's all about giving you the best cell service possible as one of the big three with better customer service and, really critical here, a lower monthly cost. You can save $60 or $70 a month, about $800 a year. And switching is so easy. You can keep your phone and your number. Okay, you keep the phone you have and your number. You're just switching service. This is a risk-free offer. Try it for 30 days. And if you're not completely satisfied, get a full refund. Listen to this offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. Or if you still want unlimited data, you can save a fortune, okay? Trust me. Call right now from your cell phone. Dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. Just from your cell phone now, dial pound 250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dial text message from Pure Talk. Thanks for being here with me on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Clay is out today on vacation. He's doing well, enjoying some time out and about, going to a game, hopefully with the fam. And he'll be back with us soon. But just me today at the helm here. And we wanted to get to your calls because it is open line Friday. 800-282-2882. Let's get to Chuck in Kentucky. Chuck, welcome to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Love your guys' show to start with.
Thank you.
Sir, I'm a former U.S. Army infantry officer, retired. And when you started your show, one of the things you had, you played that idiot plan that Biden was some kind of a hero. He's not. If you look at what he's done, I don't understand why the whole cabinet of Biden is not being brought up on treason charges. I remember signing an oath that stated I would defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when I took my oath as a second lieutenant. That stands deep in my heart. We do not deal with our enemy, and the Taliban is our enemy, and I guarantee you they will strike us again. As a matter of fact, I'm very worried that they may hit Kentucky here close to Lexington because of the Bluegrass Army Depot that has all kinds of old chemical weapons from the 1950s stored there. And it amazes me that Biden is almost acting like they're our friends. They're not our friends. They're our enemies. And they will hit us again.
Chuck, you know, this is the position. And thank you. First of all, thank you for your service. Thank you for calling in from Kentucky. The Biden administration put itself in a position where we had to ask. This is just the truth. These are things that I don't like saying things like this, because as an American, it upsets me. We had to ask the Taliban politely, can we please get our people out? Please, Taliban, can we get our people out? And to our servicemen and women who in battle kick the Taliban's butt every time, day in and day out, for almost 20 years now. I know that's got, I mean, they're telling me. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are still in or have left the service, and they're enraged by it. I'm like, well, that's the situation? Somehow, this is honestly a holdover from the Obama administration, too. They could sit down with a winning hand and somehow still lose at the poker table. That was the Obama foreign policy team, and now it's the Biden foreign policy team, because it's basically the same team. I used to go on CNN back in the, I know, but I was a conservative who would go on CNN and fight with them. You can find, there's some fun clips of me smacking libs around on air from, 4 or 5 years ago now, especially on the terrorism stuff, because they had a bunch of ignorant commies running around saying, oh, it's not the terrorists' fault, it's our fault for being mean to the terrorists. That was the classic CNN analyst line on that. But I got to tell you, I'm furious about what's happened here. I know many of you are as well. And going back to the Obama era, the foreign policy of the Obama administration was one of the most indefensible aspects of it. It was just loss after loss, blunder after blunder. Anderson in Iowa. Welcome to Clay and Buck Show. You're talking to Buck.
Hello. The reason I'm calling today is I just had a bit of a comment as far as, you know, the whole time that the Biden administration has been in there, they haven't really followed anything that Trump administration had put into place. Therefore, the border wall, you know, the pipeline, everything has just been orange man bad. We got to shut everything down that's orange man. But then all of a sudden, here comes this pull out of Afghanistan. They know they're not ready for it. And then they take Trump's advice, or they follow his not advice, but they follow his deadline, or try to anyway, or blame the fact that it was a failure on his deadline. I just think that's really crazy how they didn't say orange man bad on this one and just completely, you know, dismiss it. And I just wanted to bring that up as a comment and see what your thoughts are on that.
No, absolutely. And Anderson, I think just even in your question or your comment here, you've established a critical point, right? They say, and thank you for calling in from Iowa, they say that it was Trump's, the timeline was Trump's fault, but they didn't follow the timeline. So how could it be Trump's fault that there was a timeline that they had to follow when they didn't follow it, right? I mean, not really. They extended it so they were going to get everybody out on September 11th, and they had to accelerate it because of the fall of the Afghan National Security Forces. There is a, it's almost like a multiple personality disorder that this administration has on messaging. They'll say one thing and 2 minutes later say another thing, especially about Afghanistan, but about many things. That contradicts the statement they just made. And then they look at you like you're crazy, right? Then they look at you like you don't understand. And I sit here just, you know, jaw hitting the desk going, how dumb does the Biden team really think the American people are? And I think, unfortunately, the answer these days is they think because the media's in their pocket, they can get away with saying anything, no matter how absurd it is. I told you we would get into the Texas abortion law. Let me tell you, this is setting up for one of the biggest, nastiest political fights that we will have seen in years, perhaps in decades. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.